Today is January 7th, 2006, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast, and I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
The Macworld Conference and Expo in San Francisco next week is going to be a blowout this year, even if Apple lets all of us down. Jobs keynote and the whole kneeling at the throne thing. Macworld is still packed with all kinds of really interesting products, exhibitors. This week's report is a roundup of punditry for the first little bit, some news stuff, and some products as well that we're really excited to see at the show, all coming up next week.
Piper Jaffray's Gene Munster took a look at the pre-Macworld Expo rumors and offered his odds on what Apple Computer will surprise us with on January 9th. He thinks that new product announcements could include an Apple-branded cell phone, no surprise there, a new video-capable iPod, and the release of the ITV home entertainment appliance. According to Mr. Munster, announcing any of these products next week could be a positive for Apple, but not announcing a cell phone could also be seen as a negative. Mr. Munster predicted a 90% chance that Apple would start producing a mobile phone in the next 2 to 6 months.
You notice how he says, begin producing. I thought that was a little odd when I read the story. And maybe he actually means begin shipping, but I have this sense that that's a way for him to hedge his bets against Apple not doing it. I mean, analysts, newspapers, pundits have been saying for months, and it may well be years now coming out of mainstream sources, that Apple has contracts in place to make these phones. That means that they are producing them in some volume, even if it's one prototype every 3 months. But I think Mr. Munster is afraid, and with very good reason, to say that magic word, shipping, that we're actually going to see this thing shipping in the next half year. I think there are very few reasons to be convinced that that is going to happen.
Right. And Mr. Munster predicts a 70% chance of seeing a new widescreen iPod with touch-sensitive navigation and wireless features in the next 2 to 6 months. He also gave a 10 out of 10 chance that we'll see the ITV device in the next 2 to 6 months and that it will have features that weren't previously announced.
Features that weren't previously announced. Thank you, Mr. Munster. That could be a visible power button. Of course, Apple said explicitly that ITV was coming out, I think they said, in the first half of 2007. So it's a good reason to put 100% bet on that. Mr. Munster also predicts that we won't see the release of the next version of Mac OS X, nor a 12-inch MacBook Pro. He says nothing about the laptop that I predicted on this show some months ago. I called it and I said there will be an ultra-portable Mac that they call the MacBook Mini. I still think that's a great idea. I would love to see that product, but I have to admit, my faith in my own predictive powers are waning these days. So eventually, one day, after it hasn't come out for years and years, I guess I'll have to suck up and admit that I blew it.
Well, actually, I believe he gave it about a 40% chance of happening in the next 18 months, or like 18 months out. So maybe your crystal ball is just a long-range device.
We'll have to hope so.
Yes. Okay, and on the business side, investors may be underestimating Apple Computer's value in 2007 in contrast to 2006, according to American technology research analyst Sha Wu. He commented, as we look out over the next 6 to 12 months, consensus estimates, in our view, look reasonable and will likely prove conservative, a very different scenario than in 2006. And he added, one of our key concerns on Apple in 2006 was that we believed published consensus estimates were too aggressive, particularly for revenue, and nowhere near Apple's guidance.
Now, my memory might fail me, but I'm pretty sure Apple handily beat estimates in 3 out of 4 quarters last year. Mr. Wu is right about one thing, though. Regardless of the published consensus estimates for revenue, the consensus built into Apple's stock price was certainly overenthusiastic last year. There were a lot of buy recommendations all year, and the last day after, or the day after last year's keynote, Apple's stock price was pretty much where it is today, at about $85 a share. That means it hasn't been a terribly good investment for the people buying last year. Of course, for the people buying mid-July, that's another story. Their stock is up about 60%.
And going back to product predictions, Steve Jobs has no interest in an Apple tablet computer. This according to former Apple executive David Sirota. In an editorial for The Guardian, Mr. Sirota said that a cell phone from Apple is probable and that it would be a perfect product for the company's current strategy.
The article is actually primarily a story about a meeting Steve Jobs had with some folks from NIH who wanted Apple to create a tablet Mac. For students of the Steve Jobs style of business, it's actually quite an interesting read, so you can go and check that out at the show notes.
Now, while the pundits and analysts have been pontificating about what product Apple might produce, our listeners and readers have been speaking up too. Last week, we highlighted a thread about what improvements we'd like to see to the .Mac service.
Jeff and I were actually talking about this a little bit too earlier this week. .Mac, iPhones, there's some interesting stuff going on out there. And this showed up a little bit in that forum thread at TMO, and we were also talking about it. This idea, I've argued in the past that if Apple releases a mobile phone, they'd leverage the iPod brand, they'd just call it an iPod, and it would happen to have cell phone capability the same way that they wrapped video capability into the iPod. I'm curious, though, you started talking about synchronizing of data and the way data would move around from the computer to this device. And what is it that you have? By the way, folks, we're not predicting that this is going to happen. We're just imagining cool things that we'd like to see with the iPod. What is it that you've got in mind here, Jeff?
Okay, what I'm picturing is .Mac as a foundation for a new convergence technology that Apple has up their sleeve. And like Ricky said, we're just coming up with this stuff off the top of our head. I have no insider information that Apple is actually producing something like this, but to me it makes sense that this is the path they're going down. Okay, so with that said, what I see Apple doing is using the .Mac service as the foundation for your information repository. So then you can take any Apple device and be anywhere and have access to all of your information. All you have to do is put in your login, and then your desktop is right there in front of you. So it could be your iMac at home, it could be your MacBook Pro on the road, it could be a wireless iPod, it could be a cell phone, it could be your friend's computer in some other state, just wherever you happen to be. And then that way, the computer itself becomes more like what Steve Jobs was envisioning in the beginning. It's an appliance, and it's just the gateway to everything else. That's kind of what I see long term.
Now, it's an interesting idea, particularly some of the people on the forum thread were talking about what happens if you imagine expanding the available storage on .Mac, say, by a factor of 10, where all of a sudden you can, most users, I couldn't do it with 10 gigabytes, but I think a lot of users could back up their data, could back up their music, could back up their photos. And so if your iPod were also a cell phone, then you'd have all of your data backed up there using, of course, Time Machine, which is coming in the next version of OS X.
Right.
So all of your data is stored on Apple servers with a .Mac subscription, and then you have this iPod, and as part of your .Mac subscription, you can suck down your music, your movies, your photos from the network rather than going home to charge it up. So all you need to do is plug it in to charge it occasionally, and you can synchronize with the network. That would be pretty clever.
I think it would be very cool. And I think a lot of the pieces we need to make all this happen are in place already. And for a good example, just of the basics, go take a look at Google. You can now get at all of your applications that Google makes online. So you can do spreadsheet, word processor, all that kind of stuff, email, whatever, right in the Google interface. And all you need to have is a computer with internet access to make it all work. You don't need special software, special operating system. You just need a web browser and an internet connection.
Fair enough. So we'll see what happens. We're going to be at the keynote. There's all kinds of interesting stuff going on next week. But let's set that aside for the news. That's predictions. We'll probably spend a little bit of time talking we're going to do some shows next week on various things. But certainly at some point, Jeff and I and probably some other members of the staff will sit down and we'll talk about what people called right and what they called wrong. And that's always fun when you get to sit down and rub some people's faces in their own mistakes. So we'll probably do a little bit of that. For now, let's set aside the news. Let's talk about some products.
Okay, for the product roundup, we thought we'd tell you which companies we're most excited to go check out at, in this next upcoming week. And I think I'll start off by talking about Crumpler bags. And I'll just come right out and say it. I am a bag junkie. I am a gear junkie. I can't help it. It's a disease. I know. I'm sure there's a 12-step program, but I don't want to take the program. I'm happy with this addiction. And Crumpler has some very interesting looking products on their website, and I want to go and take a look at their bags and see what they really have going on. And when I take a look at bags, I take a look at bags from the perspective of someone that has spent years and years and years using top-of-the-line outdoor backcountry mountaineering equipment. So I know exactly what I want to look for. So what that means is, if I start talking about Crumpler bags on the podcast and telling everyone how great they are, it means they really are. If they can stand up to my scrutiny, they will stand up to anyone's.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm curious to see this. I actually just got hold of a secondhand Brent Haven computer bag, and it's one of these things that you can, like, it could get eaten by an elephant and then crapped out 2 weeks later, and it would still work. It's a fantastic bag. It's the first time I'm going to be at Macworld with a decent bag for my computer, so it'll be nice to have that around. But I am curious to see what else is out there, and of course, curious to get the Jeff Gamet analysis of bag technology.
Well, I'll be more than happy to give it. And for anyone that's interested, I will be carrying an Eagle Creek bag at the expo this year.
All right. Now, I'll talk about one that I'm really psyched to see. Logitech, which people probably know is a company that makes mice. They make a lot of wireless systems. One of them, they make, they actually just bought a company called Slim Devices that makes the squeeze box. We mentioned it in our holiday buyer's guide a few weeks ago, and we're going to review that in a couple of weeks probably, along with whatever other stuff we can get a hold of to compare it to. But they make that, they own now that wireless music streaming product, which is a very cool product, Squeezebox. But they also make something that I'm really curious to see, and they only make it for the PC. It's called, I think, the Wireless DJ. But it's like, it's this thing, it's a remote, and the remote has an LCD. And so instead of having a separate device that you plug into your stereo where you got to go look at the screen on the thing that's plugged into your stereo, you just look at the remote that you're holding, which makes so much sense. So I'm really curious to see that. Logitech makes some other interesting stuff. They make an OCR pen, an optical character recognition pen, something that as you write, it'll record what you write in handwriting, and then it'll use OCR software to turn that into text. Again, I think it might only be PC compatible, but I'm curious to get there and talk to them and see kind of what their deal is. So I'm really interested.
Well, if it is Mac compatible, I'll get a hold of one so that we can do a review, because that does sound really cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, and I'm curious to try it. And you know, I do in my other life, I'm doing a lot of physics, and you write stuff, you write Greek characters and weird stuff, and so I'm kind of curious to see how you can make it work and take notes with it and stuff. So that'd be really cool. That's one that I'm looking forward to. How I want to hear about this one. We were exchanging names of products that we were looking at. There's a Photoshop plugin called Fluid Mask,
yes,
I guess, that you sent me. It's by a company called Virtus. Now, you should tell us what it is, but let me just tell people my experience. Jeff sent me the name of this product, and so I needed to go get the URL for the show notes, and so I went over to the website, looked at it, and they have a demo on their homepage. Great idea for a plugin company. And it looks like this thing is awesome. This thing is totally cool.
Yeah, and I think that anyone that goes and looks at the little video that they have running on their website, excuse me, if you're familiar with the masking functions in Photoshop, and then you watch what this does, you're going to sit back and go, holy crap, I need this.
And yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Let me describe the demo that I saw. They have, for example, a picture of a tree. And this tree is, you know, it's got leaves and it's got, there are holes between the leaves and it's got flowers on it. And so it's this very complicated surface with a bunch of holes in it. And then they take they click a button. I don't know what any of the technical terms are here. They click a button, they click on the picture, and all of a sudden, the background of the picture, the sky, which you can see, I mean, if you look at the image, sure, it's around the outside of the tree, which is a non-uniform shape. It's a very random shape. But then all the spaces in between the leaves and all the other stuff, all of that changes. That's amazing.
Oh, but wait, it gets better. When you zoom in and actually look at the edges where the part that you've removed used to be, you don't see artifacts. You don't see this jagginess that you get from crappy masking functions. It's clean. It's smooth. And when you put something else in there behind that tree, it looks like the tree is really there, and you didn't take two layers in Photoshop and just stick them together. It's stunning.
It's wild.
So yes, I'm really excited to go see Fluid Mask from Virtus.
Now, and that's going to be a new product?
Yes. And okay. Yeah, and so what I'm hoping is that I'll also be able to get a hold of a copy so that we can do a review, because that's something we definitely need to talk more about.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, there was another one. Here's a quick one. I'm really curious to go see Parallels. People have heard a lot about Parallels. It's the thing that lets you run Windows side by side with macOS 10 on a Mac. So there's no dual booting. It's just a I've forgotten what it's called. It's not. Is it emulation? Oh heck, I've forgotten. It's a translation layer for the Windows software to deal with the particular hardware of a Mac. But it's a very,
think of it as a virtual computer.
It's a virtual computer. And Dave, incidentally, Dave Hamilton and John Braun talked about that at length last Monday on their show. They did a great job, and Dave Hamilton is going to talk. He's actually speaking at the expo. He's doing a session on running Windows on a Mac. So if you're curious about that, you can check that out. But I'm curious to go there and try it. I've got the Mac Pro, and I've been meaning to figure some stuff out about that and look into it for my own purposes. I don't have a huge use for running Windows here, but I am kind of curious how Parallels works. So that's one thing that I'm looking forward to seeing. Here's one, Jeff. I was wondering, one of the other things that you sent along was a company called Equinox and a product called Media Central.
Yeah, Media Central is a neat little application that takes over your Mac and turns it into a home entertainment system. And in a fashion, I expect that Apple's iTV product will function in a similar fashion. But what it does is it lets you take the content that's on your computer, you know, the music, the photos, the videos, and play all those. It will play DVD movies for you as well, and it can go out on the internet and find content there, and you sit on your couch and use your remote control, and you have an interface that looks like a sort of like TiVo's interface, and you can go through and select the content you want, and it's an amazing product for turning any Mac into a true home entertainment system. And they just recently added Dolby 5.1 surround support to the application, so you can watch your movies in true surround sound. And actually, I did a review just recently about Griffin's Firewave product that adds surround sound to your Mac without expansion cards. So that's another neat little thing, which I'm sure will be at the show also. But the thing is, we also know the ITV is coming out, and I want to see what Equinox has in store for their media software so that it stays relevant once ITV comes out, which tells me they probably are going to really kick it up a notch with their software.
Yeah, which would be cool. So, and again, one of the things I really want to do is run up a real product roundup of the various options, particularly once we have ITV out there and whatever the new stuff in Media Central is, to take a closer look at what the real pros and cons are and the options and the trade-offs, because there's a lot of interesting stuff. This reminds me, actually, quick tangent. The New York Times ran I think it was one of their staff bloggers wrote something about CES, the Consumer Electronics Show that's going on in Las Vegas at the same time. And they said, you know, in the past, for the past 2 or 3 years, whatever it is, the major theme at CES has always been convergence. It's been convergence of technologies in the living room. The fact that you're going to be able to easily control all of the media in your living room. Well, that's, again, the theme this year. And the reason it's still the theme, of course, is because no one solved the problem yet. It looks like this is going to be a very interesting year, particularly from the perspective of Apple Watchers because of ITV and movie downloads and everything else. But this should be an interesting season for media convergence in the living room. So we definitely want to focus in on that in the next few weeks, and we'll be paying attention to those products.
You know, I think one of the reasons the convergence theme was big at CES last year and is big again this year is because last year, all of these companies were putting their faith in Microsoft coming up with the solution to the right home media center convergence technology, and Microsoft didn't do it. Now, I'm sure there's someone out there that's probably going to send me an email and tell me I'm wrong, but I'm not, so there. And this year we have Apple coming into the market with their convergence type products, and I think this will be the year that we actually really start to see the convergence stuff gel and become something that's really viable for any consumer. And my litmus test is, can I hand a product like this to my mom and dad and let them set it up in their living room? And if they can do it, then it's okay for the general public. Everyone will be able to do it. And if I were to give my parents the products that are available right now, I'd have to go and set it up for them and come in and program it every time they needed something else changed. And that's not going to happen.
Fair enough. So we will see. We'll see what happens. One more product that I wanted to mention before we move on out. Otherworld Computing and Axiatron this week jointly announced, this was last Thursday, that they're unveiling a tablet-style Mac. Talked about the tablet Mac, but they're doing it. OWC is doing it. Tablet-style Mac called the ModBook, and they'll release it at Macworld next week. Now, it uses, apparently, Wacom's pen-enabled hardware for stylus input, on-screen stylus input. It supports Apple's Inkwell technology, includes built-in EyeSight camera, CD-DVD combo drive, optional GPS system, whatever that means, and a magnesium alloy body. That's how they're pitching this thing. Now, the interesting thing about this product is that Apple does not license its OS, right?
Right.
So OWC is not going to go out and use OS X against its license. So they must be taking a MacBook, deconstructing it, and replacing the display with a stylus sensitive model, and then repackaging the rest of the hardware in a different body. So I'm really curious to see how they do this. And of course, the price is going to have to be greater than the price of a MacBook, because they're going to have to essentially buy a computer from Apple, take it apart, rebuild it the way they want to, and sell it again.
Right.
Not the most efficient thing in the world, but certainly an interesting idea. I'm really curious to see what happens.
Well, of course, in about 6 weeks, they could start a new service on their website where they're replacing broken and cracked screens and MacBooks for a discount, because I'm sure they're going to have a surplus sitting on a shelf here in a few days.
Absolutely. That's definitely true. They're going to have a lot of those. Presumably what they have to do, though, I mean, I'd think if they have the built-in EyeSight, that they somehow remove the EyeSight from the MacBook screen, or maybe they reuse the MacBook screen somehow and put a new film over top of it for stylus sensitivity. I mean, I have no idea how they go about doing this. I'm really curious. I mean, this is a really interesting manufacturing engineering problem.
It is. And I'm crazy. Interested in seeing what they've done as well.
Yeah. Well, we will see. And there's one other thing that we should point out. For anyone that is going to be at the show, Jeff and I are actually talking at the show. Jeff, you're doing a couple things. You're doing something tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes. On Monday, I'm going to be in the graphics for business presentation as part of the Power Tools Conference. And I'm presenting with Lisa Snyder King. And that's going to be a really, really cool presentation. And that's geared towards people that that have to create business presentations and their own business materials and have them look good and look better than their competitions, but they're not graphic designers. So we're going to help people figure out how they can make their own killer marketing materials without having to shell out a fortune to do that, which will be great.
Yeah, that's. I'd love to take that class.
Then come on.
My plane doesn't get in time. But so you're also talking at the Peach Pit booth, I think?
Right, that'll be Friday morning. I'll be sharing some tips and tricks from my book, The Designer's Guide to Mac OS X. And even though the title says designer, don't feel like you can't come to the presentation if you're not a designer, because the stuff that I'm going to talk about will be useful for everyone. And then, what is it, in the afternoon on Friday, then you get to moderate a whole group of ruffians, including me.
That's right. No, that should actually, I'm getting really psyched up for this. We pitched a panel to the expo a couple months ago. We said, you know what? There's not very much stuff for developers there. I mean, developers show up, they exhibit at the show, they show off their products. People come in, they look at them, they say, "Hey, that's cool." But there's not a lot of stuff there for the developers. And the session that we pitched was about building buzz. It was about essentially publicity, PR. And so it's a panel in two halves. I'm moderating it. Jeff is on one half. He's on the editorial half. The people that make the news are the kind of gatekeepers for what information gets out into the public. And then the other half is a publicist side. We've got two veteran publicists, David Parmet and Naomi Pierce, who are both independent PR folks. Both with really interesting backgrounds. David Parmet in particular does all kinds of Web 2.0 social media stuff. And then the fourth person on the panel, again, on the editorial side, is Roman Loyola, who's from, he's the reviews editor at Mac Life. So we're going to get all these folks together, and I'm going to start throwing out questions like, what's the use of a press release? In this day and age, do press releases actually matter? What can you do at an expo to get attention? How do you build buzz for your company? How do you keep that buzz? So it should be a really fun discussion with some really interesting folks. So if you're around, the nice thing about this session is it's in what they call the Taste of the Conference program. So it's actually going to be on the expo floor. This is not a session that you need a special pass to get to. If you have an expo pass, if you're at the Macworld Expo in any capacity and can get onto the expo floor, you're good to go. It's like $20, $25 to get an expo pass, and you get to see all the products there, and you can come to this thing on Friday afternoon. So it should be kind of an interesting discussion. And Jeff, I know Jeff has a lot to say because he's here every week talking, and I know these other three folks are really interesting. So it should be a fun project.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right on.
Okay, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Apple Weekly Report.
Our content is written by the fine staff of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. For TMO, we're going to be at Macworld San Francisco next week. My plane leaves nuts early tomorrow morning. And Jeff, you're about to get on a plane this afternoon.
Actually, as soon as we're done recording, I have to go put stuff in my suitcase so I can go to the airport.
All right. Well, that is all I've got. We will be back next week. We're going to be doing interviews on the show floor. We're going to be sending stuff down this feed, some reaction pieces and some other interesting stuff. And then we're going to get the whole TMO staff together and talk about the news from the week. So this feed will be very busy next week. Obviously, MacObserver.com has live coverage of the keynote, do all kinds of other fun stuff. So we will definitely be on this and look forward to hearing what you guys have to say and telling you what we're seeing.
Yes, and it'll be chaos, pandemonium, and great fun for all. So, of course, stay subscribed.
And until next week, during all that chaos, we'll see you online.